T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Too nice to watch TV, Jordana. By the way, welcome back. Good to have you back.
Thank you very much. You know what, Paul?
In
it
one
was
piece.
Actually a devastating day as I was on vacation yesterday. People were looking at their smartphones and watching the TV, and they were hearing this.
Everybody was in shock, and people were super silent. The crowd was super silent, and it's a huge crowd.
So there's lots of tourists. It's heartbreaking to watch such a historic monument be gutted in such a short time.
Sad. I mean, those are, you know, national reactions to, of course, the burning down of the spire and much of Notre Dame.
Paris is an international city, mm-hmm. like London. Mm-hmm. Many folks have been there in the United States. Many people have a warm spot in their heart for Paris. And Notre Dame, I mean, that is the heart of Paris. It's built on a little island, which made it hard, by the way, for firefighters to actually get to the cathedral mm-hmm. to put out those flames. It made it even tougher. But I think there's a kinship, certainly that many Americans feel with the French, and this was devastating for the French, and I think we certainly have sympathy.
You know, something that struck me about watching this, you know, centuries-old church burn to the ground, and we're watching it on these smartphones, on these supercomputers that are in our pocket. We're keeping updated on it. We're looking at Twitter. We're looking at all of this new technology that is helping us consume this story. And as if you're just looking at it to learn and to hear, that's great because you were learning. But YouTube was epically failing the tragedy that had befallen France and the rest of the world. It was so unfortunate because if you were watching this on YouTube, and that's often where, unfortunately, people go for news. I mean, look, I'm guilty. I go to Twitter when I see breaking news happen, so I do watch it there.
Sure, I go to CCO Radio.
Thank you very much. You go to CCO Radio. I should have been streaming.
Let me just
you
wave
right.
The flag. I'm waving the flag.
I stand corrected.
The CCO flag.
I stand corrected. But what was happening as images of the spire on Notre Dame are falling down, you see on YouTube the messaging below and the suggested next videos are of the Twin Towers falling, of horrific fiery tragedies in other parts of the world. And then you see these allegations toward terrorism, which we know that is not happening. There has been no link to terrorism.
There's no evidence of terrorism or arson. But you're right. It was a technology misfire. It was a digital fail. And the great irony, Jordana, is that YouTube implemented these little information boxes at the bottom mm-hmm. to counter the spread of misinformation and hoaxes and conspiracy theories. And what happened? Well,
epic fail.
It just fostered more conspiracy theories. And again, no evidence that this is an act of terrorism. But this is the limitation of computer algorithms. What you need is people.
Yes, yes, of course. I was just astounded as I was trying to consume all of this, and other people are. And look, you and I and you listening, hope you're an educated consumer. You know to not maybe make that correlation, that YouTube, its job is to suck you down that rabbit hole, is to get you going, to keep you on their platform.
To keep you watching
longer.
And watching more ads. And what does that? It's like a drug. You need a stronger and stronger fix mm-hmm. to get the same high. And it just pulls you down deeper into the pit of conspiracy theories.
To me, it was just this really blatant, in-your-face message that social media is doing this wrong. And you cannot rely on your screen or the next video that pops up to feed you information. As you mentioned, Paul, the only thing that can combat this are humans.
And that's expensive.
Correct. Because the algorithms they're writing are doing their jobs to keep you on the platform longer. But the humanity of it is to get truthful information and to not get sucked down and to not be drawn into these fake dramas of, oh, could it be terrorism? And that's hard.
The algorithm saw a flaming, smoking building. And so the algorithm matched that up with the flaming, smoking buildings, the Twin Towers, 9/11. Yeah. When, in fact, what was required was stuff that only people can do. Perspective, context, analysis, things that computers can't do. 20 years from now, will computers be able to do that? Maybe with artificial intelligence. But today, there still is no substitute for people looking at video, vetting the video, and connecting the dots. And we don't have that now with these platforms.
It was a real cautionary tale. And I know it was just smacking me in the face as I was watching this, thinking, oh, we got to talk about this on the radio because this is how you're not supposed to do it. So I'm already pissed off at YouTube. I'm already like, okay, you guys are really failing us. You stink. And I'm really annoyed by all of this, hoping the kids were not at home watching on YouTube, hoping they were watching on, were listening on WCCO radio. And then the 4,000 pages of leaked company documents from Facebook from 2011 to 2015 that NBC leaks out, then I want to go and I want to wring Mark Zuckerberg's skinny, scrawny neck. Couple of reasons. First of all, because that jerk has been lying to us the whole time. And second of all, because I'm the idiot who defended him. I thought, you know, he created a good thing. This is what he did at Harvard. It's blown up. It got away from him. I don't think he had malintent. I don't think he had a black heart. I don't think he meant to sell our information. And that son of a... he was doing it and lying to our face.
First, your break the tablet in half.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Deep breaths.
Oh, I'm feeling hysterical about this because I defended that jerk.
Well, you asked me why I don't post a lot of stuff on Facebook.
Honey, you're already on. It's not about how much you post.
I know.
You put your name and your birthday, he already sucked you.
But I'm not posting what I'm doing, where I'm going, what I'm eating, what I like, what I don't like, my political views. I just don't. Because that information can and will be used against you. And
I know, but if you post happy birthday to your wife, they got you, buddy. They got you. If you're posting happy birthday to my son, they know he's your son. They know what he does for a living. They know what you do. It got you. You're screwed, just like the rest of us, buddy.
Well,
I know that's uplifting, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, thanks.
Well, basically, and for those of you new to this story that clearly I'm getting hysterical about, is the fact that Mark oversaw these plans to consolidate Facebook and control competitors by bargaining with the data. That's what he
was doing. You're like what they call a hysterical female.
And I am. And I will own that right now. Hysterical because I'm so angry with I'm angry with YouTube.
Wear it like a crown.
And I'm angry with Mark Zuckerberg because he was basically using your birthday and my birthday and what I do and if I'm married or divorced and all that stuff as a bargaining chip. Jerk wasn't even selling it necessarily, but if people, like if Amazon advertised on Facebook and bought advertising,
he was
giving them our data. I just want to rip his hair out.
Are you shocked? Until
a little bit right now.
Until Congress steps in and establishes laws on what these platforms can and cannot do, it's going to be the Wild West, and any chance they have to increase their margins, make more money, yeah, of course they're going to try to make more money for their shareholders. I'm disappointed, but I'm hardly shocked.
And in 2014, he told the New York Times, quote, "Anything we can do that makes people feel more comfortable is really good. The communication between users is increasingly important." And he was giving it away to Amazon because they were spending money. Yeah, I mean, that is greedy. That is unscrupulous.
I'm not surprised.
I'm mad.
And something has to happen. And something will happen. I think there is a groundswell of efforts underway right now at a national level and even a state level to regulate some of these platforms. And no, you can't do whatever you want with people's private personal data. That's different. At the very least, you have to get their consent. And maybe if you're going to use my data, pay me.
That I go for. That I go for.
And
I get on board with that.
Let's negotiate a price every month. You want to target me, whether it's ads or behavioral
Because my date is not that interesting. Honey, I will tell you my bra and panty size if I'm getting paid for that. That's not that interesting. Trust me, it's not that exciting.
No, senor!
I will share that.
This is information I don't really need.
If Mark Zuckerberg wants to know, I will tell him this.
If he pays you.
Honey.
It's a contract.
Show mama the money. Baby needs a new pair of shoes.
You can use my data.
Bring it.
It's worth something. What are you going to pay me?
Bring it.
All right. I agree.
Anyway, have you heard of this powdered alcohol?
No, I have not.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's not illegal. As far as we know, we can only find data back till 2017. As far as we know, it's not illegal in Minnesota, but we're going to find out why it could be way more dangerous than your average beer next.
As if we don't already have enough temptations between vaping and, medical marijuana and CBD. How about powdered alcohol?
What is that?
I didn't even know this was a thing, but the more I looked into it, the more it's like, yeah, products like Vodkarita and Cheetarita. These are little packets that you simply add to water, and the alcohol is somehow inside this powdered substance. They found a way to powderize alcohol.
And you buy it at the liquor store? Because I haven't been looking, but I'm going to go look.
I don't believe it's here yet. But Minnesota is not, as far as we can tell, one of the 36 states that have already banned the sale or use of powdered alcohol. Back in 2015, Dan Cook said that
Governor Dayton put a one-year moratorium on it, but that was back in 2015.
That came off, and as far as we know, it is still legal in Minnesota. A number of legislators believe it's a public health disaster waiting to happen. It can push your blood alcohol content very quickly to dangerous levels. And the concern is that it gets into the hands of kids. These packets are small, easy to hide. Once it's produced and sold, Jordana, it would be nearly impossible to make sure it doesn't fall into the hands of minors. And also, it can be over-consumed. I mean, it sounds to me like in powdered form, you can ingest much more of it, much faster, possibly even producing alcohol poisoning.
If anybody's had this, let us know if you've tried it. I don't remember seeing them. I certainly don't remember having them.
Either.
But I can imagine how this would be super easy. You know, you put it in a soda. I'm assuming it's flavorless. Or flavorless and odorless. You put it in a soda. You put it in your Kool-Aid or whatever. It seems like it could be very easily consumed.
Put it into anything. There are opponents of a ban on powdered alcohol, and they believe that this should be treated just like any other alcoholic product. With the same oversight, the same regulations, people should have the freedom to consume powdered alcohol the same way they do liquid alcohol. And some are concerned that if you ban it, that's going to increase interest. That's just going to fan the flames and curiosity. Hey, what are they so afraid of?
Well, I kind of want to try it now, so it's kind of working because I want to go and find some and taste it. So see how I'm not that smart and see how that worked.
But look at what happened with vaping. Vaping, it's a smoking substitute. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it's hooking a whole new generation of young people on tobacco products.
For sure.
Flavored, vaping, and you can get it in cherry and lime and vanilla.
I was in Colorado this weekend.
Oh, boy.
And handsome husband and I took a little pilgrimage to one of those, they call them dispensaries.
Dispensaries.
Yes. These are fascinating places. They say that the people are not high that are serving you. I'm going to beg to differ on that.
What was the tip off?
Try this. hey, you look stressed, man. You really need some of this. The edibles are really cool.
The talking was a little slow.
Were they a little slower?
They were a little happy. But they're really cool. The one we went to see it. It was very clean and it's very organized. Have you been in one yet?
I have no idea what you're even talking about.
Okay, so there you go.
Is it legal in Colorado?
Of course it's legal in Colorado. Rocky Mountain High, baby. So you go in, and it's like not a pharmacy, but like a cool little she store. Maybe all of them aren't as nice, but this place was really nice. And things are behind the glass case, and they're in colored packages, or they look like little medical, like little pill bottles or drug bottles or things like that. Then there's bath bombs. you know, with not just CBD, but some of them have marijuana in them also. And there are a million different strains of all of this stuff. So this lady behind the counter is giving my husband this whole tour of what this is. He's asking all these questions. I don't know. You know, he's asking these questions. He's, what is this and what is that? She is so knowledgeable about everything. And I said, could I take a picture? And they're like, oh, no. No.
Put the phone away.
No, we don't. Because I'm like, it was just really cool. I wanted you guys to see it. And then all the edibles, there's so many different things, not just the gummies, you know, there's chocolates and there's
candy bars and
so much cupcakes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much stuff. So after our little visit, we go outside in the
you
waiting room.
You say hi.
We said hi. Outside in the waiting room there. Then we noticed this on the way out. I was a little nervous. You know me, I'm a rule follower.
There are cameras everywhere, yes, too, right?
Even going in, I felt like a little nervous. And you have to show your ID.
Sure.
And you know you're on camera. And of course, we showed our ID. You have to be 21 to even go in. So it was just really cool. So we go back outside. And then encased in glass, this whole glass room, are live plants. They're growing their own marijuana. What are they? Are they bushes? Are they trees? They look like trees, like a plant you'd put in the corner of your house, quite frankly. And they have all these artificial lights, and they have an indoor greenhouse where they're growing their own marijuana. It was, I did take a picture of that. I'll have a handsome husband send it to me.
Do they take credit cards? Do you recall?
Because, I didn't ask.
Because my understanding is
that they do.
They only take cash because banks, at least the big banks, don't want to do business with the cannabis providers, but it's turning into such a big business, billions of dollars, that some banks are finally giving in, I believe. Just curious if you could use your Visa.
I didn't buy anything. I can tell you honestly,
right.
I did not buy anything. But so I don't know the answer to that. But I think they would. I don't know. Some of that stuff's expensive, baby. You better have some plastic on you. It was really a fun. It was a fun experience.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was a fun.
Very
experience.
Interesting.
Really cool. Anyway, I digress. It's also 3:31. When we get back. The perfect selfie right after giving birth.
What?
Ouch. Next.
Are you kidding me?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So, after you gave birth, were you camera ready?
Yes, the National Enquirer was there with
a
fleet of cameras after I gave birth, yes.
Do you remember what it was like for Lori? And did you have family in? And did you entertain? And did you take family photos? Or was it just, you know, blood, sweat, and tears? And
you know what? I was at Care 11 when Walt, my oldest son, my first boy, was born. And that was back in 87, long before social media. Mm-hmm. But I remember that Channel 11 wanted some imagery. So I think they sent a camera crew out to the hospital, North Memorial, where Walt was born.
Did Lori partake in the pictures?
I asked Lori, I said, this is up to you. Mm-hmm. And she gave her blessing. And there was 15 seconds of Lori holding Walt, me in the background.
Okay.
I got the better end of that deal.
So she was presentable enough
she
to be
was,
on TV.
She was, but she didn't put on makeup. She did not glam it up. She didn't blow out her hair. What is blowing out your hair?
Oh.
Is that just using a blow dryer?
Yeah, it's when somebody blows dries it for you. Yes.
When somebody blow dries it for you.
Yes. I mean, you could do your own blowout. Yeah, sure.
I don't think she put lipstick on. I thought she looked angelic. I thought, you know, it was a very natural look, and I don't know.
Well, now we have moms like Kate Middleton and Meghan Markle, and apparently moms-to-be are feeling pressure to be camera-ready post-baby. I can't get on board with this. I don't know any moms who feel that pressure. I think if you do, maybe you need to possibly re-examine where this pressure is coming from.
Did you apply lipstick before you started pushing?
No, of course not. But look, I was on TV when I had my first two.
Right.
So yeah, they came to the hospital and they said hi, but no, there was no men.
But they took video.
They took video, but no, I didn't put on. I mean, I don't remember. Maybe I brushed my hair. It wasn't all like sweaty. It wasn't like right after the kids
But it wasn't
came
a
out.
Big thing. It's like, this is how I look after giving birth.
Exactly.
Deal with it.
So apparently now, in today's social media saturated world, pregnant women are having makeup artists standing by. Possibly even in the delivery room. Some hospitals are offering in-house spa services with hairstyling, makeup, nails, all sorts of stuff. So you can take your post-baby pictures and be fabulous. There is a constant debate over perfection during labor, right after perfection during labor, and right after giving birth. It's looming for some moms. I guess people are feeling this kind of pressure.
651-989-9226. What do you think about this? I think it's an unfortunate trend. It seems like on Instagram there are two camps, Jordana.
Yeah, yeah.
The moms who want to show the absolute raw truth, very personal, private things.
And nobody needs to see your episiotomy, by the way.
No, please don't shoot that.
No, yeah,
but,
we're good.
But here's what I look like, the real deal, after giving birth. And it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's natural. Mm-hmm. This is the way we're supposed to look.
All sweaty and schvitz, and, you know, you got your glow going.
Well, yeah, you got the red face after,
just pushed for 16 hours.
What you've done.
Mm-hmm.
One of my wife's friends said, it's a little like, imagine going to the bathroom and...
okay, so there's
that. And dropping a grapefruit.
We appreciate that imagery.
And that's something that guys can appreciate.
Appreciate that imagery, so thanks so much for that. And probably a little bigger than a grapefruit. Alan's got a story about his wife. Alan, thanks for calling.
Hey, Alan.
Hello. When we gave birth to our oldest daughter, my wife called me from work and said, I think my water broke. So I get home. She's running around with a towel between her legs, putting on mascara, blowing her hair out. This is even before we went to the hospital.
That's funny.
Wow.
So she's all worried that, National Enquirer is going to be at the hospital for us, of course. You know, and it's like, hey, here's something more important. Let's get over there.
Right.
And we got to the hospital with about 15 minutes to spare.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
And she looked pretty good, though.
Yeah, but, you know.
You better say yes, Alan, if you want to stay married.
I'm just teeing that one up for you, Alan.
Hey, 37 years in August, so I can't be that bad.
Good for you.
She looked fine, but it was funny. And then when we had our second one, it was, none of that. Let's just get to the hospital and get this thing over with.
Get my stretchy pants going.
Get it out of me. Hey, thanks. Alan, can I ask you a question? Are you from Maryland?
No, we've had this before. I was born and raised in New York.
In York. Okay. Yeah, all right.
You heard the accent.
You're a Manheim Township guy.
Manheim Township,
That's right.
And I'm a York suburban guy.
Awesome. Well, we're glad you're listening, and thank you for sharing the story,
sir. How old are these kids now, Alan?
35 and 32.
Well done, both of you. Well, thanks for the call, Alan.
Thanks, Alan.
Well done. You know what? Here's the deal. I'm not judging the moms, because you know what? Giving birth is, well, like giving birth. It's a thing. It is hard. It is painful. It is no shame. I mean, your legs are spread. The janitor could be walking by. You don't care. You're just pushing. Get that thing out of me right now. I don't care if I'm screaming and I'm a mess and I'm schwitz and I'm, you know, whatever. So I don't judge anybody if they want to a little lip gloss when they're done, or to wash their hair and to feel like a human being again, because your body has just been through 9 months of, you know, you're the apartment building, you're renting. Somebody has taken over your body, and it would be nice to maybe feel a little human after you go through this whole experience. And for people that are, you know, that are judging these young women who want to be Instagram ready, go ask your mom what it was like after she gave birth. Because mine will tell you, she was there with her full makeup after they put her to sleep and the doctor pushed that baby out. And then she had her fall. Remember falls, folks? We call them a weave today. We call that a little extra piece, a little HIB, hair I bought today. So a little fall, which is a wig or an extra piece
today
of hair.
Today would be hair extensions.
It would be an extension. There you go. And so they were dude, they packed their curlers. They had everything going on. So don't judge these young women just because they're posting on Instagram, because our mamas, if they were lucky enough to give birth in a hospital, were even more vain, and there was no Instagram.
Yeah, thank God they didn't feel the need to post photos, though. Your mom?
Well, those photos still exist now.
Yeah, but they didn't have them up globally.
No, because they
where anybody on the planet could access them.
But they knew the pictures were going to be taken, and they were. And they looked beautiful.
And the internet is forever. Forever and ever.
So, Mom, whatever you choose, we don't judge you. You do your thing, moms.
346 Wixon Jewelers time. Visit the custom jewelry experts at Wixon for exquisite jewelry, handcrafted in-house, designed exclusively for you.
Did you know that an estimated 2,500 kids are without shelter on any given night? And LGBTQ youth in Minnesota are up to four times more likely to experience significant and long-term mental health issues. I didn't know that either. Until our old friend, mine and Paul's old friend, Robin Robinson, told us about an organization that she's working with, the Arise Project from the United Way, and she's here to share some information. Robin,
hey,
welcome
Robin.
Back to the show, love.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing We're okay. Great. Tell us more.
I am so honored to be a co-chair for this year's campaign, fundraising campaign for Greater Twin Cities United Way. And Arise is just one of the many, many programs that the United Way helps throughout the Twin Cities.
40% of homeless young people identify as LGBTQ. Why is that? Why is this a greater problem for gay and lesbian kids or transgender?
Oftentimes, they are turned out of their homes. You know, they don't have any place to go. They have no one to talk to. They face serious crises at home. And so they go to the streets because they have nowhere else to go. There are some organizations that do help. But what is so unusual is that Minnesota only gives about a fifth of the resources that it needs to LGBTQ youth in the Twin Cities. That's about $4 million a year behind where we need to be in order to make some significant changes that need to happen with our gay youth. And it is frightening to think that if gay youth of color are six times more likely to be put in a situation where they are turned out of their houses and have no place to go. And you guys know how cold it was and how much snow we had this winter. There were appeals going out to anybody who could take in youth. And these are teenagers that really do need our help because in so many ways, the ripple effect is so great when it comes to these kids and so many different other issues that come up.
Robin, we have less than a minute left, but where can listeners go to learn more? How can people help?
They can go to gtcuw.org. That's Greater Twin Cities United Way.org. They can click on the gift button. You know, the Arise Project has invested over $1 million to end youth homelessness. Mm-hmm. They partner with over 5,000 donors. They provide shelter to nearly 500 shelter and housing opportunities. They collaborate with nonprofits across the Twin Cities. They do so much. You know, people might say, you know, I want to give to something else. I want to give to education. Well, these kids need to stay in school. Somebody might say, I'd rather give to, you know, health. These kids need to have the money necessary so they can get the health issues addressed that they have by being out on the street. It has a ripple effect, and so that's why the United Way is so important, because they work with organizations.
And Robin, once again, I just want to give out the website, gtcw.org/arise.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.